You're listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, episode number 2.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are your head chicks and hosts for the day. So today we've got a really interesting topic that I know a lot of you are probably struggling with. And we're going to be talking about health saboteurs. So even hearing that, I know you might be thinking of some coworkers, some family members, maybe your partner, people who are standing in the way of your health goals. So if that's something that applies to you, then this is definitely a must listen. We also actually have a question though. Saida wrote in talking about her issue with her health saboteur in her life. So we're going to start off with that. Saida writes, I'm doing my best to make healthy changes in terms of working out and eating healthy. I get in 4 workouts per week and have really been trying to eat better by getting rid of processed foods in my house, cooking more at home, and making lunches instead of eating out. My problem is trying to get my family on board. My husband is constantly buying junk food, isn't open to trying new recipes, and I find it so hard not just for me to stick to my healthy lifestyle, but also to set the example for my kids. What do I do? Help, please. 6 exclamation marks. So Amanda, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's great that she's reaching out and asking sort of, you know, what tips that we can provide her, because this is probably one of the most common things that people run into. And, you know, like the health saboteurs is something that kind of like runs rampant, especially in offices and at home, right? So I think it's a great question. I think it's a great topic for us to talk about and just to kind of give a little bit of insight into our own experiences, as well as to help people just figure out sort of a plan of attack so that you're not pushing people away and you're not feeling as though you're isolating yourself, but you're also giving yourself sort of a very clear idea on how to move forward so that you can live your best life.
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of stuff we can really throw in from a personal standpoint to today's topic. So we're going to cover what is the health saboteur, because if you've never experienced one or don't know you have one in your life, you need to know the definition so you can recognize them. We're going to talk about what do you do when you want to make healthier choices, but your friends and your family are not on board. That might sound familiar. How to stay strong and keep to your choices and goals, and also how to try to get others on board with your healthy living without shoving it down their throats, because no one wants to be told what to do. So starting off with, what is a health saboteur? So there's basically 2 types in kind of our Fit Chicks world that we address. And this is someone who is either A, directly trying to derail your weight loss or healthy living goals, or B, is derailing your weight loss or healthy living goals by being unsupportive but doesn't realize they're doing it. So A is a little bit more, they know what they're doing. B is someone who doesn't even realize. They might be, you know, giving you things out of love, for example. You know, moms, they like to feed you because that's the way they show love to you. Where sometimes they might be feeding you the wrong foods and you don't know how to deal with that situation.
I have that situation.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. I wanted to ask you, do you have someone, like Amanda, do you have someone in your life, either currently or from the past, who is a health saboteur?
For sure. I think in both of them kind of fall in the B category. So in the sense that they were derailing sort of my healthy living goals without even knowing it. One is from the past, and that would be my parents. And that comes from way back when I lived with them. I mean, I moved out at a very young age and sort of figured out my own health strategy on my own from 16 on. But before that, my parents were kind of that, because they lived the life that they allowed me to make choices on my own since I was very young. So I was able to choose what I'd like to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And breakfast usually consisted of Doritos. There was no structure.
Doritos.
For breakfast, right? When you're 10, that's amazing. But so it allowed for me to kind of have any kind of flexibility, any choice I wanted. And so I think indirectly, they were a saboteur in the sense that they weren't putting structure in place. They weren't opening me up to any kind of foods, any kind of, you know, they weren't teaching me how to make foods in the kitchen. Now, mind you, my mom is an amazing cook and she makes great food now. And indirectly, I think by me living a healthy lifestyle, I've now influenced them in a different way, which is totally the same sort of thing, but in a positive.
Well, yeah, because it flows in the circle, right? You know,
for sure.
You make healthy changes and it impacts, and then it's the ripple effect.
Exactly. Exactly that. And so I think that in a way it's become a good thing. But when I was younger, it was just, there was no structure. There was no involvement in terms of learning about health and wellness. You know, I didn't even know what broccoli was until I was 18, until I went on a date with someone and he made me a stir fry. And I still remember it was the first time I'd ever eaten broccoli in my whole life at 18 years old.
That must have been interesting with a palate that had never, you know, grown into it, because that's why kids, they say it takes about 8 times introducing food to a child before they'll actually take to it. So that's why a lot of parents, you know, if you give kids broccoli 1, 2, 3, 4 times, they're going to keep spitting it out, but you got to stay the course and go for that 8.
For sure.
And for you at 18 trying broccoli, it's like, oh my God.
The funny thing is though, is I didn't spit it out. I actually really liked it. I really liked it. And it's like actually one of my favorite foods now, all vegetables pretty much. But when I was younger, that wasn't the case. So definitely that was sort of a health saboteur. And then I think current is my most beautiful, amazing Nona. So my husband's grandmother she doesn't mean it. She means it in a loving way, but she comes from an Italian family. She makes amazing food, like homemade gnocchi and all of these great dishes. But she, you know, when we go there, it's like I made homemade pizza, pasta, all these things that are just like carb overload. And, you know, she doesn't take no for an answer for seconds or thirds. And she just keeps piling it in front of you. And she's gotten a lot better with me now because she understands that I'm just not that hungry. But it's definitely in the beginning, it was really tough because it was hard to say no to her.
Well, and I think it's really hard too, because when you're trying to make specific changes in your life for goals, you know, and for me, relating it back to, for example, when I did the fitness competition, my goal was to get a certain level of muscle, step on a stage in a bikini in 12 weeks. So to do that in a bodybuilding competition. So within that, you have to be on a very strict diet plan. You cannot derail from it. So I think it's really, you know, it's being really clear about what your goals are and making sure you share those with people around you so they know that you're not offending them. Because people like your Nona, they want to, you know, to them, food is love and they want to keep feeding you and giving you new, you know, more and more and more. And if you're saying no, they take it as something's wrong.
Of course.
So it's kind of, you know, understanding A, what your goals are and making sure that you're really kind of telling everybody around you that you're not saying no to their food because you want to hurt their feelings. You're saying no to their food because it's not in line with the goal that you have. And that could be the fitness competition. It could be weight loss. It could be that you just want to cut out all processed foods in your life. And you know, you might go over to someone's house and they're cooking from packages and you don't want that. So it's kind of just making sure you're really clear on that in a very positive kind of way.
Definitely. And I think tying it back to Saida and her question and sort of her story is, you know, I feel like her real end goal is to, yes, she sounds like she really wants to create a healthier lifestyle. But in my opinion, her end goal is really about setting an example for her kids and, you know, really building a better, healthier lifestyle for her family in general. So I think she has to be very clear about what that goal is to her husband so that he's aware that, you know, by bringing in junk food to the house and not being open to new things, he's just sort of, you know, creating a little bit of an impasse for her and her family to not be able to reach that goal that she is hoping to create for them.
And also healthy food, it really starts in the home. So as a partnership, and we see this a lot with our clients, you know, you've got one who, and not saying it can't be the rooster of the house, but typically it's the chick of the house who's, you know, wanting to make healthier changes or living healthier, and everyone else is not on board. So it's really always starting, I think, with conversation, because you have to sit down as a team and be like, this is what I'm, you know, this is what we want for our family. If we want to have healthier habits, we have to make sure that we're committed to sitting down around the table and having dinner together, eating real whole, unpackaged, unprocessed foods. You know, if we want to have something that's junk food, then maybe it's something that we have outside of the house. For example, like, you know, when I was younger, we would have Friday night was like treat night. So my mom would give us a dollar. And again, I'm kind of aging myself, because that for a dollar you could get a lot. Like, it was like you could like buy out the store. But you know, we would have a dollar each, my sister and I, and we get to rent a movie and we get to pick whatever candies we wanted to. And that's when all those 1 cent candies were huge. So having 100 1 cent candies was like the biggest deal ever.
A gold mine.
Yeah, but it was outside of the house, you know? So it was something that was kept to, I don't like to use the word treats, because then I think they almost like glorify those foods and make us want them more. But it was just like, it was something that was not part of our regular daily routine. So it was something that we would go out and get and bring it home and not have leftovers of it in the house. Because the truth is, I mean, when you're looking at how to stay strong to your goals and your health choices, you've got to make your house health food friendly. You have to. Like, it's been proven that if you have something in your house that is, well, any type of food pretty much in your house, you will eat it at some point unless it rots. So if you're, you know, trying to lose weight and you have bags of Doritos in your cupboard and that's your trigger food, why even put that in your house that's going to maybe set you off? Or if you're having a bad day and you're tired and next thing you know, you've got the orange fingers of shame. Like, because you just go, you know, you throw it all to the window. You've got to set up your space for success. And we talk about this a lot, whether it be working out or healthy eating or, you know, dealing with stress levels, your space has to reflect what your goals are. And I'm a huge believer in that.
Agree. And I think, you know, and if you're thinking about it from the, you know, a perspective, which is the people who are directly trying to derail your weight loss or your healthy living goals, that's a totally different beast altogether. So that's definitely not what I see being Saida's situation. I feel like I don't think he's directly trying to do it. I think he's just indirectly not aware of really what her goal is. But if it is direct, that's the time when you really need to take a seat and kind of really review, you know, who you're surrounding yourself with, and always, you know, and look at sort of what their situation is. Like, for example, are they frustrated about something going on in their lives? If they're not sure about how to start their weight loss journey or living healthy, maybe that's where you can sit down and kind of help guide them. Maybe they're just confused about it. Maybe they're unsure. A lot of times I find that the A, and I could be completely generalizing, but I think that I always find that that comes a lot from like coworkers and friends. That's like the, you know, the people that come in and they drop the like box of donuts in the office, the kitchen office. And it's definitely like a sign of them just trying to possibly be, you know, generous or kind to other coworkers. But at the same time, you know, if they know that people are on a journey, why not drop a fruit platter or something like that? So it's, you know, I think that there's different ways of going about it.
Well, I also, I mean, just pulling it back to that. So, you know, again, reminding, you know, we're talking about two types of health saboteurs. So the, when we say A, we're talking about that's someone who is directly trying to derail your weight loss and health goals. And B is someone who is derailing them by being unsupportive or doesn't realize that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Like, in terms of A, I always think you've got to always, at points in your life, take a step back and do a little bit of inventory about who's in your life. Because we are growing and changing constantly. You know, our education levels and our likes and our life experience is changing you. So if you, you know, who you hung out with when you're 15 might not be the people you want to hang out with when you're 25 or 35 or 45. So it's good to do that kind of step back inventory and see who's in your life and if they're in line with what you want for your life. And that could be, you know, not only just your healthy living goals, but your purpose in general. Now, in Saida's case, this is her husband. So it's, you know, obviously she married him and they have a life together and they're moving forward together. So like you said, I don't think he is someone who is specifically trying to. derail her. But if you do have somebody who is specifically trying to, the best thing to do, though, I always think, is do the inventory and then also think about it coming at it from a place of compassion, because you're going to get angry and be like, why is this person trying to ruin me trying to live positive? But a lot of times, like you said, it's they're sad and frustrated with their own lives. They're not sure how to start. And then also sometimes they're really afraid. Like they see you making these changes and they're scared you're not going to be, you know, fun, just say fun Amanda who loves to do shots on the bar. Not saying that you ever did that. but you know what I mean? Like they don't want you to change. They know you as a certain way and they love you being their comfort food partner or their, you know, their drinking buddy. And then suddenly you're saying, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be healthier. I want to start eating better and I want to start taking care of myself. And they're scared they're going to lose the friend. So you got to kind of be a bit compassionate as well.
Definitely agree. And also find a different way to maybe, you know, have the conversation with them from that place of compassion and maybe guide them or give them ideas of different ways that you can connect, you know, so it doesn't have to be the, you know, the movie marathons with like tons of junk food. Maybe it's that you find like a joint sort of love for going hiking and then that's sort of your goal. Or maybe you find a cooking class that you want to take together that you can both learn and grow from. So I think that there's definitely ways that you can come at it from compassion and then also suggestion.
Yeah. And that's one thing that, you know, even within our group of friends, we've started doing is activity hangouts, as opposed to being like, oh, let's go out for dinner tonight. We've been doing like, oh, let's go check out this spin class together. You know what I mean? Like, that is the hangout time as opposed to being like, let's just focus it around food. Let's focus it around something else.
Definitely.
The other thing I always do too is the walk and talks, I call them. You know, don't go sit at the coffee shop, grab your coffee with your friend and walk and talk at the same time. So, you know, you're less likely to, you know, indulge in more of the chemically treats and you're also moving. So you're getting exercise. So it's more bang for your buck.
Win, win,
win, sure. Win. We love it. Okay. So just pulling it back. So we talked about how to stay strong. We're talking about how to stay strong and keep to your health goals and choices. So we talked about making your house health friendly. What else, Amanda, do you think that Saida and our listeners would benefit from to help how to stay strong if they do have health saboteurs in their life? And
I think the next thing is really just to learn how to say no. Sometimes we're so afraid to say no. We're afraid that people are going to be angry with you if you say no, or we feel almost like ashamed to like tell people what your goal is. And you know, you just kind of go with it because it just feels like it's easier. So, you know, just feel comfortable saying no. Tell people, no, I don't want to eat this, or no, I don't want to just go sit and watch movies all day. I want to move. Like, be very comfortable stating what you need as well. You know, you're doing this for your health and you should feel proud of that. So definitely have that stance. You don't have to say it in a mean way. You can just say it in a way that comes from a place of honesty though for yourself.
And that's one thing that I do find, and I know you've experienced this too, but when you're on a health journey, everyone likes to make comments and it's really challenging because you start to feel like you're really, you know, like at times beaten down or pointed out. Like for example, in my house, my mom will be like, well, I don't know what to buy because I don't know what you eat.
Like, oh, I get that all the time too.
Yeah. Or, you know, well, Laura, she's on a diet. I'm like, no, mom, I'm not on a diet. This is not a diet. This is my lifestyle. But you know, it's easier for people to kind of relate if you said to them, oh, I'm on a diet. I can't have chocolate cake. They're like, oh, she's on a diet. No, I'm not eating chocolate cake because I know it makes me feel like garbage. It's packed with sugar and, you know, things that are not good for me and they don't make me feel good. So that for me, you know, it is kind of building up that tough skin. And like you said, finding the power just to say no, like, no, I'm cool. I don't need that.
And sometimes I know that, you know, when we go back to just saying no, like a lot of times too, we feel like we have to make excuses for ourselves. Like we have to explain why we need to say no. If you've already explained to someone what your end goal is and what this journey is for you and what it means to you, you should simply just be able to be like, no, I'm good. You don't have to continue to go into the story over and over again. I mean, really and truly, if it's somebody that it cares about you, they should just respect that. And eventually, hopefully, they'll just stop trying to sabotage and create that sabotage for your life.
And also, once they see that this is your lifestyle, it's not just, you know, this is you for a month going on a little health kick. You know, once you've implemented healthy long-term habits, and they're going to know that you're for real. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to know that this is the way that you choose to live your life.
Definitely. I think too, the other thing, if we're going back to how to stay strong, is also just to find like-minded people. Like what you were talking about, Laura, when you were saying, you know, like our group of friends now does a lot of, we do a lot of active hangouts as opposed to it just being kind of chill hangouts or food related hangouts. We do a lot of active stuff. We go on hikes together. We go to classes together. Find other people that like to do that. So Saida, like for you, you know, maybe it's finding someone that you can go to a cooking class with. Maybe it's your husband though. But if he's not open to it, maybe you find someone else that you can do that with, where you can try to find ways to create new recipes that are family friendly and everybody will be really open to.
And the thing, just to add to that, sorry, but there's so many resources now too. You know, things like meetups. I know my sister does a lot of them. So if you're new to an area and you don't have, if you don't have a circle of friends yet who are into healthy living, you can always go on, I think it's meetup.com. We'll put it in the blog post along with this podcast. But, you know, you can go on there and find other people who are looking to meet up and do the same activities as you are.
Definitely. So then, Laura, how would you say you would get other people on board? So for Saida with her husband, how would you recommend that she gets him on board without actually shoving it down his throat?
Okay. Well, this one, I think you and I are masters at, because this is what we do as a living. So this is our job, is basically trying to get others on board with living healthy and not basically force them to do it.
Or feel overwhelmed by it.
And that's just it. No one wants to feel overwhelmed, and no one likes someone telling them what to do. It doesn't matter if you're a 3-year-old kid and your mom's trying to tell you to go to bed, or you're a 40-year-old and someone's trying to tell you to go to the gym. You know, we don't want somebody else telling us what we need to do. We're adults we're human beings. We want to be able to make our own decisions. So the last thing you want to do is become a preacher and, you know, start giving than the lectures about all the reasons why. So like for Saida's husband, he doesn't like trying new recipes. So instead of her being like, you know, well, you can't eat that, it's bad for you, do you know what these chemicals in here? And, you know, do you know how much saturated fat and blah, blah, blah? Because that doesn't resonate, obviously. No one responds to that. I always try to think about it about adding health to someone's life. So not from a negative place of we're taking away all of this stuff, we're going to add more. So start off by kind of revamping even the recipes that you currently do by sneaking in maybe more vegetables or doubling the vegetable content or buying organic meats and him not knowing that, you know, they're organic meat. So little tiny things where you can add in more health. And then as they start to say, oh, that was a really great recipe, you can kind of be like, actually, you know what I did? I put in double the broccoli this time and I used this really great organic chicken. And you know, that kind of thing. So they're like, wow, that actually tasted really good. And then you can step from there.
It's funny. And Saida, just so you know, I can relate to you on that, because my husband is the same in the sense that he doesn't like vegetables. I love vegetables. We're like the complete opposite. And in order for me to get him open to trying recipes and to trying vegetables, I always think of it as I'm treating him like a 5-year-old. So I sneak vegetables in. I chop it up to the point where it becomes part of a sauce, or I blend it into certain things so that he has no idea that it's actually in there, but really we're eating like an entire broccoli and like some green beans. Like I literally just put things in, but in a way that he doesn't even know it's there. He eats it. It's great. I'm happy because I'm getting my veggies in, and I'm happy because he's also getting them in. So definitely it's a little sneaky, but it's a good way of doing it for sure.
Well, and I think that's a good place to start in terms of getting in the nutrition. But exactly. You also want to make people, like, especially with the kids, you want them to be making healthier choices. So they need to see the vegetables, know the names of the vegetables. You know, my nieces, even at 3 years old, my sister did a fantastic job of introducing them to really healthy food really young. So, you know, at 3 years old, they'd be asking for blueberries and, you know, they would call it crunchies and that would be almonds. They would be asking for things like that because they were introduced to them. And a lot of times with kids, they just don't get to see these foods. So they never, you know, they never want them or, are even open to trying them. So,
agreed.
And like I said earlier, that, you know, 8 times, you got to just keep on trying. And whether it's a kid or an adult, but yeah, I always think about it in the sense of coming to it as adding health to your life before you start taking things away. And then I also really think, you know, how to get people on board without shoving it down their throat is to really lead by example. I don't know if you have people like this in your life. I'm not going to call out who they are in mine, but they're not living the healthiest lives, but they're the quickest to tell everybody else what they're doing wrong. And this usually comes from a place of they're not feeling good in their own skin. So I just think by, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. So by you continually just leading by example and going to do your workouts and bringing the healthy foods in and cooking with healthy foods, you're showing and you're giving permission to other people to try it too.
Agreed. Well said.
What else do you think, Miss Amanda? What's for getting other people on board?
I think the other thing is really just, and we've talked about this a little bit, but be supportive and ask them to join you, because a lot of times they're just scared to try their own health journey and they need support. And sometimes they just don't know where to start. Especially I find that with a lot of friends or with coworkers, as I was saying, sometimes they'll see you starting to change. They'll be curious about it, but then they feel nervous about it because they don't know what you're doing. They don't understand it. They may not have done any research on it. They may not be aware of it. And so by you maybe just sitting down and saying like, hey, I'm doing this really cool new like revamp of my life. I'm trying these new recipes and all this. Do you want to join this cooking class with me? That might just be the trigger that they need in order to start. And by having you there doing it with them, they might feel supported. And so really just look at it as a way to help enhance somebody else's life as well outside of your own family. So for Saida, you know, for you, it could definitely be asking your husband, but if it's not your husband, it could be anybody around you that may also be dealing with the exact same situation that you're dealing with and you may not be aware of it.
And I totally agree with that because, you know, like attracts like. And a lot of times, you know, if you are in a workplace or in a group of friends, a lot of times you have the same habits. So if you're going to be the leader and you're the one who's, you know, the first to step out on the healthy journey, sometimes they really need you to ask them because it's so out of their comfort zone that you need to be the one to break that ice.
Agreed.
Well, so Saida, I really hope that this helped you today and everyone listening about health saboteurs in your life. Just always remember though, whatever you're doing, just always come from a place of compassion and always do what's true to you. And I think that's the main message for a lot of the stuff that we talk about is just, you know, get really clear on what you want and just make sure it feels right for you. And try to surround yourself with positive people who are doing the same thing because it's going to make things a lot easier. So with that, we like to wrap it up, Miss Amanda, with what are you grateful for today?
Today, I'm grateful for that date that I had when I was younger. Now that I was talking about it, it made me think a lot about it. And I'm grateful for it because I'm grateful that I got introduced to all these delicious vegetables. And it did have a huge impact in my life, regardless of sort of, you know, what came about from it. It was like, it impacted me because it allowed me to like learn that I actually like cauliflower and broccoli and to start experimenting with new foods. So I'm grateful for all the vegetables out there and for that one date that I had that introduced me to it.
I love that. I love that too, though, because you never know in life, you know, how a situation can completely change the course of your journey. you know, and it could be your health journey or your life journey, but just that one moment of eating broccoli, you might have never been eating broccoli, which may mean you may never have gotten to health and fitness, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Exactly.
I know, that's the way my crazy brain thinks.
And Laura, what are you grateful for?
I am super grateful today is basically that I don't have a lot of health saboteurs in my life. I'm so lucky that I have such a group of supportive, amazing friends and family, and really who are like total cheerleaders and on board with anything that either you or I do. We just have people who are, you know, they're just willing to try our workouts when we're testing new things for Fit Chicks Bootcamp, or, you know, willing to try all of my recipes, and some of them have been absolutely nasty. And they still like are like, okay, well, it was good, but we could tweak it here, you know. So I just am so grateful and blessed to have such an amazing group of people in my life. And yeah, I just want to give them some shout outs today. So with that, we are going to wrap up today's episode, and we will talk to you next week.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.